Today's Holy Gospel is from the second chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 13. This is right after the Magi visit baby Jesus. Now when they had departed, the Magi, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region that were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophet might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, Happy New Year to you all. I think for some, this is turning the calendar is a big deal. It's like, wow, 2023, a whole year ahead of us. And for a lot of us, it's like, hey, it's just a day, one day from yesterday. How can it be that big of a deal? Well, both those things are relevant, and both are true. But today we're celebrating Jesus Christ, and Christ calls us to a brand new transforming experience. He says the letter to the Corinthians says, the old is gone, the new has come, that we are a new creation in Christ. And so sometime today, hopefully, or in the next day or two, I'd encourage you to look back over the last year, 2020, give thanks, say, what have I learned? What things happened in this year that were significant? And how have I grown? And then also look ahead to where is God calling me to grow in 2023? Well, put that question now in the back of your minds for a minute. So I want to speak about today's gospel and the story that we enter into in Matthew's gospel of the murder of the innocents. Stories have a great power to shape us and teach us like nothing else. That's why Jesus used stories, parables, to teach, because you remember stories more so than you remember just words or teachings, bullet points, if you will. The brothers Grimm wrote a story long ago. It goes like this. There were two children, children of a woodcutter, Hansel and Gretel. And their father remarried, and the woman that married her father didn't like the children and wanted to send them away. There was a famine in the land, and she convinced her husband to take the children far off into the woods and leave them there with a piece of bread, and they would be so lost they would not find their way home. But Hansel was pretty smart. He grabbed a bunch of pebbles and shoved them in his pocket, and as they were walking away, he dropped a pebble so he could find his way back to the home, which they did that night. The stepmother was furious, because still, now they still have to feed these children. And she convinced her husband again that he was going to take them away, and he wouldn't do it. So she did it. This time, all Hansel had was some bread. And so he took the bread, and he dropped the bread crumbs all the way back. That didn't go so well. The birds came and ate up the crumbs. So they were lost in the woods. And they wandered around for 3 days until they ran into the house made out of bread. And the children were hungry. They started eating on the house. And a woman came out, an old woman. They found out later she was a witch. And this old woman convinced them to come inside and she would feed them. But she did that in order to take them, advantage of them, and lock them in a cage because she was planning to eat them. Now, Hansel was pretty smart, and she fed him a lot of food, and when she couldn't see very well, and when he went to find out if he'd been fattening up, he just stuck a bone out instead of his finger, and she was frustrated because Hansel was not fattening up. And finally, she was hungry enough that she was going to cook Gretel and eat her. What a story, right? But Gretel, being a smart little girl, instead of climbing into the hot fire, said, "I don't know how to get in there." And the witch said, "You silly girl, I'll show you how to get into the fire. It's a big opening." And the witch climbed in the fire, and Gretel slammed the door and burned the witch up. And then they went home, and he lived happily ever after. You think about that. That's a children's story, right? Why would we tell such an awful story to children? It's a terrible story. Why do we tell stories like that? Well, we do because we live in a dangerous world, right? And children need to know that there are not safe people out there in the world. Not everyone is a safe, kind, and wonderful person. There are people that are evil, people that take advantage of the innocent. In other days, we would say, yes, there is a dragon. We live in an age where it doesn't take a great stretch of the imagination to see that this world is also a dangerous place. Aftermath of 9/11, 20 years ago, the wars, genocide, starvation, terrorism, exploitation of people, human trafficking, violence in our streets. You just turn on the evening news, there's plenty of bad news to watch. There is evil in the world. And a lot of reasons not to put much faith in human beings. There is a dragon. So what do we do with it? Well, in medieval times, evil was personified by a dragon, and there are dragons in the Bible. If you look at Revelation, chapter 12, verse 13 and 17, it says the dragon is pursuing the woman, and the woman is the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, to destroy her. He's also pursuing every one of us who follow Jesus Christ. That's what evil does. So this story today of baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph getting a dream and running away from evil King Herod gives another reality to the Christmas story, which we think of, you know, this serene, like we sang, a little town of Bethlehem, a peaceful place where God came, people received him. But actually, Jesus came into a very violent world. And when he came in, this is the story of a heavenly battle, that Jesus would be battling evil throughout his life, as we do. Where was the choir of heavenly cherubs who sang the good news that Jesus was born? Well, they probably actually looked more like an army of warriors than a cherub choir, because Jesus came into this world and God invaded the world, and the devil tries to destroy him. That's what he always does. Today's gospel is a story that illustrates the truth, that evil surrounds the silent night of Bethlehem and the joy of the Magi's visit. God warns Joseph to flee, which he did. Jesus is born into a violent world. Nothing has changed. J.R.R. Tolkien wrote the classic, wonderful story, The Lord of the Rings. Have you seen the movie or read the book? Many of you, I hope so. It came out a few years ago. But Lord of the Rings is a very creative way of depicting good versus evil and the way that evil tries to control and take over the world. And it's a very imaginative, extraordinary treatment of this Christian truth, that at the end, good overcomes evil. While the great and powerful play a role in defeating evil, in the end, in this story, it's the humble and the unremarkable hobbits who save the day. This paradox is what Scripture writes about, the weak shaming the wise and the mighty. And it's most prominent in The Return of the King, the final book of the trilogy. At the end, the hero of the film and the book isn't Aragorn, the king-to-be, or even Frodo, the ring-bearer, who has been given the task to destroy the ring that controls all the others. It's Samwise Gamgee, the gardener, and arguably the humblest of the four hobbits. Time after time, when it appears that the quest to destroy the Ring of Power is about to fail, Sam somehow summons up the will to go on, and most importantly, takes Frodo with him. The cinematic Sam mirrors what Tolkien wrote in his book. His will, he said, was set, and only death would break it. The Lord of the Rings is about faith. Faith in the need for good to oppose evil. Faith in those who join you in that struggle. And faith in God that ensures good's eventual triumph over evil. It's not the powerful or the strong or the wise that save Middle Earth from evil. It is the humble hobbits, little people, that save the world. J.R.R. Tolkien wrote in story form the way that God works in our world. Yes, there is a dragon, but good will prevail. Evil will lose. So Jesus came into our world, small, vulnerable, humbled himself, Scripture says. He was obedient to the will of the Father, even to death on the cross. And there is evil in the world, and God will prevail. I love how Martin Luther describes this battle in his famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. The hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us. We tremble not, unmoved we stand. They cannot overpower us. This world's prince may rage, in fierce battle we'll engage. He is doomed to fail, God's judgment must prevail. One little word subdues him. The word is Jesus. Yes, there is a dragon, but God is bigger. God is stronger. God saves us. And not only does God save us, God claims us. That's what Matthew's gospel shows us, is that Jesus is the king. If you recall those first chapters, we see the line of David in the kingly line of King David. He's the king to be born in Bethlehem. That's where the kings are supposed to be born. Jesus is brought kingly gifts from the Magi. His birth is a threat to King Herod, to which the scriptures fulfilled, out of Egypt I called my son. Jesus is the king. And Paul makes this association, that because he's the king and we're his kids, we are heirs. We're not just people. We are heirs to the kingdom, sons and daughters of God. And we have a specially close relationship with God that we can call God Abba, or Dad, Father. He is our God, and we are his kids. We belong to him. So in 2023, that makes all the difference, to turn the page to a brand new year, that we have a home to go to. Having a home is hugely important. That's your safe place. That's your place you can get away from all the things that battle against you. Chris and I have made the image of a refuge, is what we've described to our children, and what we hope our home is a place of safety. It was for our children, and now it's for our grandchildren. When they come over, they feel like they can be themselves there, and that's what we want. Because when you know where you belong, and you belong somewhere, it gives you courage. It gives you courage to risk, and courage to try, and courage to stretch out your wings. And as Paul writes in Romans, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is the hope that we have today. We know that God works all things for the good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Jesus brings hope and joy. It's not a sentimental wish, Merry Christmas. It's a true and enduring promise. Jesus is the answer for our world today. Above him, there is no other. So make your home in Christ. You belong there. He gives you the courage to face whatever this world will throw at you today and for the rest of this whole year. So back to my opening questions. Happy New Year. Christ is inviting us to a new transformation, saying the old is gone, the new has come. Take some time today to look back over 2022, what you've learned, how you've grown, and where God is calling you to grow in after today. Let us pray. Lord, the first reading today was a psalm, in a way, a prayer from Isaiah of giving thanks. Of giving thanks for all that the Lord has given to us, recounting his steadfast love and praising him. Lord, give us the opportunity today, beginning now, to thank and praise you for all you've done in our lives in the last year. Lord, we know that life is not just roses and happy things, but also difficult challenges and trials. Some of us have battled health trials. Some have battled relationship trials or just difficulties in life. I was frustrated with the world and the things going on. But God, help us to place our trust firmly in you, knowing that even though we don't understand how this all is going to turn out, you are in control of the world. You love us. You know us. You're with us. And we belong to you. So we thank and praise you, Jesus, for all that you've done and all that you plan to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.